Welcome to the Big Three podcast. This podcast answers three big questions raised from Sunday's sermon by the congregation of Guymere Baptist. The Big Three Pod seeks to discuss these questions, explore issues, unpack theology, provide further information and explanation to help your faith grow. You can listen to the original sermon on your favourite podcast platform or at guymerebaptist.org.au. Our prayer is that this pod helps you as you follow Jesus.
Well, hello again and welcome back to the Big Three. I hope that this podcast finds you well wherever you might be, whether you're listening to this in the car on the way to or from work, whether you're listening to this at home or on a walk, wherever you might be. Looking forward to sharing the next half an hour or so with you as we explore some questions that were raised from our sermon on Sunday. For those of you who were there or were able to catch up on the sermon on the GBC Sermon Podcast, where you can always find our sermons, or possibly on YouTube, the other place where you can find them. You know that we had a special guest, Cara Martin. She's an author and a lecturer who has spent a significant amount of time considering vocation and faith and how they integrate together. And it was great to have Cara with us over the course of the day. She spoke in both the morning and our evening congregations. And I'd asked her to speak a little bit more fully about what we mean by vocation. And so she did. She discussed vocation as kind of our whole of life activity, the things that we do as human beings. And she kind of grounded kind of specific vocations, you know, that we might feel as a particular call of God that might be, for instance, an occupation because it takes up an enormous amount of our time, or, you know, our care for family, which is not necessarily paid work, but is certainly incredibly important work to do and can take up an enormous amount of our time and energy. Anything that we do with purpose and intention, you know, that in that specific sense. So there's kind of this general sense of all of life, as well as kind of a more specific component of our vocation, the calling that we may have sensed from God. It was an excellent message. I'd encourage you to listen to it if you have not. She has some excellent quotes from a variety of different theologians and thinkers, as well as some really helpful illustrations. One of them that really stood out to me was thinking about our lives and our vocation, kind of like one of those babushka dolls, or those nestling dolls. You know, you kind of take them all apart, and inside each one is a slightly smaller version. You open that, and there's a slightly smaller version. You open that, and finally in the middle, there's kind of an unopenable kind of center. And she just kind of talked about our lives kind of being like that, that in the core of who we are is our salvation. And then outside of that, kind of surrounding that, but still part of our overall life, are things like our family and our work and, you know, our belonging to the community of faith and all of those sorts of things. And, you know, the answer to the question of which one is the babushka doll is kind of a moot point. They're all, like, they all have to be part of it. You know, you can't just say that I've got one of those shells and say that I've got the whole thing. You need to integrate the lot. So I found that really helpful in thinking this through. And it seems that some of what she had to say certainly sparked some great questions in our congregation. For those of you who submitted questions, again, thank you. Really appreciate the opportunity to think a little bit more deeply about what it was that Cara had to say to us and how we can continue to apply that to our ongoing life as followers of Jesus. So the questions that I'm going to try to address today in this podcast are these. When we are on call and have the strength to endure as Jesus endured, how do we balance working too much or saying yes to too much? The idea of being on call was something that Cara had referenced from, I believe, a Catholic theologian who described our vocation as human beings as being permanently on call. And that idea of being on call for God's work in the world then has really significant implications for how we engage with our world. If we knew that at any point in time we would be on call, you know, I'm old enough to remember when people used to have beepers, you know, little kind of the pagers that they would have, particularly when they were on call. So there'd be kind of a way to contact them at kind of just about any point in time. If we lived our lives as being on call, always ready ready, always open, always kind of prepared for what God might call us to, then how would that change the way we live? But the question then is wrapped around, how do we avoid doing too much? How do we find balance? So I want to talk about that because I think that's a great question. I think so often we are incredibly busy. And trying to find balance is a huge task for us. The second question is this. The question, and I'm assuming that the question that they're referring to is the question of vocation. So the question of vocation remains the same, but the context changes as we pass through life. How is this, the vocation that we have, different for school leavers versus retirees? Trying to kind of capture, I'm assuming, the kind of the, not the full breadth of our humanity, but a pretty broad swath of it, right? Everything from first leaving school all the way through to retirement. How might our vocation change? And then the third question is kind of a flow on from that. If we're struggling, how do we differentiate between the calling of God and our vocation and genuine reasons to leave or transition to a new vocation? So questions of, you know, how do I know what's next? Is there a next? Really good questions. Really looking forward to grappling with these a little bit. I hope that they kind of capture some of the questions that you had out of Cara's message as well. So let's kind of turn to them. All right. So the first question, as I said, references a theologian that Cara quoted, who suggested that we need to be on call. And they asked the question, when we're on call and have the strength to endure as Jesus endured, how do we balance working too much and saying yes to too much? And as I just suggested, this is a really big question for us, isn't it? In our day and age, particularly because, you know, we are on call all the time, aren't we? We're always kind of online. I think that, you know, I referenced pagers earlier and that kind of dated me to no end, right? But the idea that we are now always kind of on call, like we can always access our emails, people can always be texting us, there's notifications, if you have them turned on just about any number of apps and things that our phone now contains, there's a real sense that we are always on call, even if it's not necessarily for the things of God, right? We are always kind of at work, it seems. And, you know, the idea that we can be so busy, we can say yes to so much, we can be involved in so much, has led people, I think, to want to see some change in that space. You know, whether that be, you know, taking breaks from, you know, social media in particular, but also learning to kind of create some boundaries in our lives. And I do think that boundaries are important, but I reckon that the biggest category that we need to be thinking about in terms of the busyness of our lives, a number of things that we do and the amount of things that we might say yes to, is actually a question of wisdom more than it is anything else. And some of you may have heard me kind of talk about this before, but I think it's a really critical distinction. One of the things that wisdom literature informs us about is not just what to do or what to say, but wisdom requires us to know what to do or what to say and to have the timing to be able to do or say the right thing at the right time. So there are I won't say contradictory, but there are some proverbs that kind of express two different realities, right? So there's a couple of them side by side. I think it's in chapter 24. I should have looked it up beforehand, but it's in Proverbs 24, 25, somewhere in there. And basically it says, answer a fool according to his folly, right? Or he will die in his folly or something like that. And then immediately following it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be just like him. So there are these two proverbs that kind of basically say the opposite things. One says you should answer a fool according to his folly. The other says you should not answer a fool according to his folly. And the issue really is one of timing. You've got to know which proverb to apply in a particular point in time, right? And I actually reckon that a lot of what we struggle with in terms of how much we say yes to is not so much a matter of balance as it is a matter of wisdom. So we seek after balance as a shortcut to what we really need, which is wisdom. So there are times in our lives when, shall I say, it is right and appropriate to be busy. I think anyone who has a young family in particular knows the reality of this. Like there's a time and a place for it. You know, the kids are young, so there's lots of care to be done at home. There's lots of activity as they get into school and after school activities and all those sorts of things. You tend to be, you know, working at that point, at this very start of your career. And so you're often trying to kind of, you know, go the extra mile in what you're doing so that you can kind of get those advancements and those raises and the promotions that you're looking for as you can kind of build your occupation. Like it's a perfect time to be busy. The problem, I think, for our society is that too often we don't ask the questions of timing, right? We live in a society and a culture that says we can do anything right now. We can do anything that we want. And we tend to, instead of asking questions of whether it's the right time to do those things, we basically say yes to everything. And we end up kind of seeking balance. And balance is not a great thing to seek, I don't think, because it suggests that we should do everything. We just have to be able to fit it all in. The way of wisdom is to say there are certain things that we should not be doing right now. There are times when we should be busy. There are times when we should not be. We see this in Jesus's life. After he sends the disciples on their first kind of missionary tour, they come back and we're told, I believe it's in Mark's gospel, that the crowds were so big and things were so hectic that they didn't even have time to eat. And so Jesus puts them in the boat and kind of, they cross the Sea of Galilee. And I think to myself, so even Jesus had periods of time when it was just absolutely flat stick, like where it was just really busy, where there was so much going on that there wasn't even kind of an adequate time to stop and have lunch. And yet Jesus has this kind of perfect sense of timing, right? That he knows when it's time to send the crowds away, and he knows when it's time to withdraw and spend time in prayer, and he knows when it's time to turn his face to Jerusalem and begin the long, slow walk to the cross. And I think that we often are seeking balance rather than wisdom. And so I reckon that one of the questions that we can be asking ourselves, you know, on call to some degree, is what's the time right now? Like what is it, the timing in my life? And I'll come back to this when we talk a bit about the breadth of vocation and how it might change. But, you know, over the course of my life, I felt that the time that I am in, the period of my life that I'm in, has some implications for how much energy I have. It has implications for the sorts of things that I might be doing, the sorts of things that I would be more open to. And I think that that's a really valuable exercise for us to consider. So while we do, I think it's helpful to think of ourselves as being on call for the work of God, right? For the vocation of God, to be participating in what he is doing, because, you know, his work never takes a break in that sense. I think that what we need to be asking for is wisdom, so that our timing is good, right? So that we know that there's a certain time to say yes to things and there's a time to say no to things. There's a time to take an opportunity and there's a time to let an opportunity pass. There's a time to kind of leap into a conversation, and there are times to just not and just let the conversation kind of go on. So I think we need to be seeking to embrace wisdom in that. And that includes things like, you know, self-care and self-preservation, right? That's been built into who we are. It's part of our human fabric that God has knit together. And so I think that there's some real wisdom in listening to our bodies, you know, listening to, you know, the fatigue that we may feel or the stress that might be exhibited in our bodies or whatever the case might be, and allowing that to shape our responses, while at the same time considering more broadly the timing of what we say yes and no to. I think that Jesus is a wonderful example. You know, as Kara said, he endured because he understood the vocation of God, right? The call that God had upon his life, which was in many ways utterly, utterly unique. And yet he demonstrates this real wisdom. I reflected on it a couple of weeks ago when I just pointed out that, you know, Jesus spent, what, the first 15, 20 years of his life in the carpentry shop. And that was part of the timing of God. I'm sure that Jesus, I mean, we have that one story in Luke of his stay in the temple, you know, and his parents find him and say, what were you doing? And you left us, we left you behind. And he said, didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? And so there's a sense that Jesus at a very young age had a very clear sense of what it was that he was called to. And yet in the timing of God didn't begin that until he was 30. And so there's this real sense in Jesus that while his whole life was one of seeking to do the will of the Father and to be kind of on call in that sense, that timing still took different shapes and forms in his life. And I think that's a really valuable insight for us when we think about our own sense of vocation and what we are called to do, to avoid working too much, saying yes to everything, stressing not just ourselves out, but those around us, not being able to give our best. All of those sorts of things, I think, are very important things for us to be recognizing in our day and age. So the second question that I want to address has to do with the changing of our vocational context. The question is that the question remains the same. And again, I'm assuming that that's about vocation, right? So the call or the issue of finding our vocation remains the same, but the context changes as we pass through life. So how is our vocation different, say, for school leavers versus retirees? And again, I think it's a great question to be asking about. You know, are there times and stages and periods in our lives when our vocation might change? And I would say that broadly speaking, I think that it does. And the reason I would say that is, you know, as Cara pointed out, and as I tried to kind of intimate a little bit in the opening to this series, there's a sense that everything that we do as human beings is to be done, again, quoting someone else that Cara referenced, was to be done before the face of God. Like, we are to live our lives before the face of God. So our entire human existence, right, is lived before the face of God, which means that everything that we do, you know, as Martin Luther suggested, again, someone that Cara had quoted, that the intentionality that we do things with, the faith that we bring to them, the recognition, the attitude that we bring to them makes an enormous difference for us. And so I think, you know, when we consider, you know, the life cycle of someone, right, the sorts of things that they might be engaged in, I think there are some obvious times and places where there is a shift of vocation, right? The shift from being a student to being a worker, for instance, is a really big one. Whether that's just as you leave school and after you're 10 or after you're 12 or after university, right? There's a pretty big shift there from studying as your primary vocation, you know, learning a trade, learning a skill, learning a particular area of expertise, and then beginning to work. That's a natural kind of changeover. There's the natural transition, shall we say, from being, you know, legally a child to being legally an adult, and the things that you are then able to do and the things that you are expected to do, right? For citizens in Australia, you know, they're expected to vote when they become an adult. There are certain things that then kind of change quite naturally when we have children. If, you know, you choose to get married and have children, you know, that's another kind of change, isn't there? Even the change from being single to being married can be a quite substantial one if that's the choice that's made. And to have children changes that again. I think there's an enormous amount of time and energy and vocation tied up in raising children. Whether you're doing that, you know, as a stay-at-home mom or dad, or whether you're doing that while you and your partner are working full-time or part-time, like, there's just a lot that goes into that. You know, my wife and I are currently at the stage where all of our children are adults. Two of our daughters are married. Our youngest has just started university. And so we find ourselves in a very different kind of stage. I mean, we're still their parents, and I suppose we still have some influence and say in their lives, but the relationship has changed quite significantly, as it probably should. And that means that, you know, the amount of time that we have now to be involved in other things has also changed. I'm not sure that we've totally come to grips with what that might mean for us at this point in time, but, you know, we're no longer to driving the kids all over the place. They can drive themselves. We're no longer having to organize all sorts of stuff for them. They organize themselves. And so there's some changes to that. And I can imagine, pitching forward, that once you start to get into retirement, that that's another really significant and quite natural kind of transition period. So I do think that the question, though, needs to be for us, if I can come back to the first question, the matter of timing. What is the time right now? What's the time that would be wise for me to invest in? So, I'm probably still a little ways off retirement. At least I certainly hope so. But I am also in that place in my ministry and in my work, my occupation, where I realize that I now have a fair amount of experience in leading a church and in preaching and teaching and lecturing. And this is kind of a whole bunch of stuff that I've just gained over the course of working for 30 years. And there's an opportunity for me, a kind of a growing opportunity, to begin to do some mentoring. Right now, that's something that I wouldn't have done when I started out because, well, who wants a 22-year-old mentor who's just got out of Bible college and just started running a youth ministry 3 days a week? Like, that's it's just not the right time. Whereas now I feel that the investment that many people have made in me, the experiences that I have had, the opportunities that I've had, the reflection that I've been able to do, has lends itself now to being able to potentially mentor someone, to speak into someone else who may be kind of earlier in the along the path than I am. And that's just kind of a natural kind of moment for me. And so I try to take those opportunities when they arise for me. And I think that at every stage of our lives, we need to be asking, what is the opportunity in this stage of my life? If my whole life is part of the vocation of God, then what's the opportunity right now? I'm not retired yet. I don't have friends who are retired at this point in time. So I'm still a little bit away from that. But, as I watch people who are retired, there's often an opportunity to volunteer, to mentor. There's often an opportunity to invest in the lives of grandchildren and of children, but in a very different kind of context. So there's lots of opportunities in each stage of life. And I think we need to be a little bit more intentional and deliberate about asking, what are the opportunities that God may have for me in this space? I think sometimes we can be swept along by the expectations of our society. Not just in, retirement, that retirement is the time when I just travel around and spend the children's inheritance, right? There may certainly be a level of travel and of rest and all of those sorts of things, but that's not the only opportunity that we are given in retirement. Just like much earlier, we can be swept along by, you get a job and you just work really, 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 really hard. You spend all of your time at work. You just build your company. You build your business. You climb the ladders, whatever it might be. And again, I'm not sure that's the only opportunity that comes to us as we begin to move forward in our work. So we need to be deliberate and intentional about asking, what is the opportunity that I have before me? Kara had mentioned, in terms of asking the questions about, what's the specific calling at the moment, to ask about the passions that we have, about the opportunities that we have, particularly the opportunities to serve other people. That's a really critical component. So asking, what gifts and abilities and passions we have, the opportunities that lie before us, and the ways in which we can serve others around us. I think those are really critical questions to be asking whenever we experience kind of a change in our lives, when something has changed and we just find ourselves feeling like we're in a new time, a new era, a new period, whatever that period may be. So I hope that helps. I think that it's a really good question to be pausing and reflecting on. And I think I, from my own perspective, I often feel like I'm not intentional enough in kind of thinking through what the opportunity is to serve in this period of time, in this stage of my life. And I think it kind of takes that very broad perspective that all of our life, like the babushka doll, is part and parcel of the vocation of God. So if that question is about kind of the big and general aspect of our lives as followers of Jesus, the last question that we want to deal with is actually a little bit about the specific call of God. So the third and final question in the big three is about the more specific call of God in our lives. If we're struggling, how do we differentiate between the calling of God in our vocation and genuine reasons to leave or transition to a new vocation? And it's interesting. And whenever I read these questions, I've said this a few times over the last number of weeks. I do feel like I'm kind of interpreting the question. So if you are the one who asked this question, I've got it horribly wrong. Please do let me know. I'm not sure that we'll have a corrections episode, but I do feel like I'm not guessing, but I'm trying to kind of fill in and reading it in a particular way in light of what Cara had to say on Sunday. But the idea that I'm kind of picking up in this is that specific call. If we have experienced a specific call of God and we haven't felt that that has changed, how do we kind of grapple with an opportunity that might come up for us to move or to shift? How do we understand that? And so I'd like to go back to something that Cara started with in her message when she talked about some of the myths of calling, of vocation, one of which is that God always tangibly calls people. And she made the point that while there are occasions and situations where there's the tangible call of God, you know, the burning bush with Moses, you know, the angel who comes to Joseph or to Mary, you know, the really specific prophetic words that kind of were given to individuals, there are those sorts of really big, really clear, relatively straightforward moments. But for the majority of God's people, it's been a little bit less overt, a little bit less explicit. And we're left to be kind of grappling with, the finding the specific call in our lives. Right? So I mentioned in the last question, the three questions that Cara suggested that we can ask ourselves about our vocation. You know, what am I passionate about? What gifts has God given me? And where do I have the greatest opportunity to love others? And I think there are many times when we feel a real sense of call, given the passions that we have, the gifts that we've been given, and the opportunities that are before us. I'm in a privileged position in many ways of really enjoying the work that I do. I feel that what I'm passionate about and the gifts that God has given me have connected quite neatly with the opportunities that I have to serve. And so there's for me a real sense of specific call. Now, that didn't come through a burning bush or an angel or a prophetic word. It's something that has kind of developed over time as I've grown to understand my own passions, as I've grown in my skills and the gifts that God has given to me, as I have stepped into new contexts and taken the opportunities before me. But there is a sense for me that if I were to consider, you know, as this question asks, you know, to consider genuine reasons to leave or transition to a new vocation, where that would raise some pretty big questions for me. You know, what's the new opportunity? Is the new opportunity a greater opportunity to serve, or is it less of an opportunity to serve? Is it a new area of opportunity to grow in gifts and abilities? Is it something that I'm also passionate about? Like all those questions to work through, I think would be things that I'd kind of want to consider. Now, the question asks if we're struggling, right? So again, I don't know exactly what the struggle might be, whether it's just a sense that maybe there's something new out there, perhaps that, you know, you feel that there's a sense that the current thing that you're doing, you know, you're no longer passionate about it. It's no longer a great fit. The opportunity has diminished, or perhaps that there's just another opportunity that's arisen for you. And I think when we're trying to come to grips with the specific call of God, right? When we feel like, no, I've been placed in a particular situation for such a time as this, you know, to quote the book of Esther, you know, where we feel that as we've looked at our life, particularly, you know, as Kara mentioned, looking at it in reverse, you know, we see where we find ourselves and we think, you know what, this is really appropriate. It's timely. I feel like I am doing what God wants me to do. When we begin to feel that there may be something new, something next, something else to what we're doing, I think that, first of all, it's totally and utterly appropriate to go to God and ask for clarity, right? To ask for, you know, I've heard people talk about kind of a sense of being released from a particular call of or vocation, right? So that God might grant, I guess, in our inward spirit, this sense that, yep, we're done here, and that there's a freedom to move on, or simply to ask for greater clarity moving forward. So maybe it's less about the context we find ourselves in, but more about, you know, asking God to be clear about a particular call or an opportunity that lies before us. I think we also want to involve other people in our lives in that decision. We want to be, you know, talking with friends, family members, people who know us well. People who are committed to following Jesus, with whom we can share our sense of calling, that sense that we have that the things that we're passionate about and the things that we have skills and gifts in and the opportunities to serve others, why those things seem to fit so neatly right now, to talk through our sense of discontentment or our lack of satisfaction, or even just that sense that there might be something beyond this moment. I think that those are really quite valuable things for us to do. And then this goes back to some advice that I received as a young man. I was in kind of a very teenagey way, grappling with decision-making and how do you know what the will of God is? And an older, wiser Christian friend said to me, just start moving. It's easier to steer a moving vehicle than it is one that's sitting still, right? You may have heard that idea before. She said to me that God's ability to speak is infinitely greater than your ability to hear. In other words, just start moving. You know, use your own wisdom, use your own sense of what God may be calling you to, talk to people around you, make a decision and start moving, and then pay attention to what God might be saying in that. You know, kind of try the door, see if it opens. If it does, go through it, see what happens next. Because if God really wants you to do something, he can make that very, very clear. If there is something that God absolutely, definitively requires you to do, and only you can do it, and in his plans and purposes, you really have to do it, I mean, God can be clear, right? Burning bushes, angels, prophets, right? There's all sorts of things, dreams that God can use to try to make that really clear for us. His ability to speak is infinitely greater than my ability to listen. I can listen as well as I can, but if I can't really sense that really clear, specific call, just start moving. And I've always found that that's been really valuable wisdom for me. To find myself in a particular position, a door opens. Seems like it's a pretty reasonable door, right? Seems to fit with my passions, my gifts, an opportunity to serve, step through it, see what happens. As Kara said, you know, often I look back in my life and I can see with greater clarity than I did in the moment. I look back and I go, yep, the hand of God was on that. In the moment, it's just really hard to discern. And having looked back, and, you know, as Kara mentioned, you know, I now have more of a life to look back on. It gives me confidence moving forward to think, you know what, there's an open door, there's an opportunity, there's something for me to explore, and I have greater confidence to do so because over and over again, I've looked back and I've seen the faithfulness of God. I think those are really important things for us to work through. So, you know, if you're struggling a little bit with the call that you're in, either because, as I said, the passion's gone, or it's not a neat fit anymore, or the opportunity has changed, or because you just sense that there might be something else out there, I would commit that to prayer. To try to be as careful as you can to hear from God in that space. I would be turning to friends, family who know you well, who understand your commitment to God and can contribute to your following after Jesus, to kind of keep you accountable on that, but also to kind of give their own wisdom and insights. And then I would suggest kind of moving forward. Trying a door, starting moving, just get going. God can steer a moving ship. He can get you where he needs you to be if there's something really, really specific. And along the way, to be attentive as we can be, to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in the vocation that we may have. I found Cara's message really challenging, both in the sense of the kind of the all of life discipleship, but also then thinking about those specific calls, those specific areas of our lives where we certainly feel that God is inviting us to participate with him. And I hope that you did as well. This coming Sunday, we have Andrew Sloan with us, one of my colleagues from Moreland College, and he's going to be talking about the effect of sin on our work and vocation. And I've been in conversation with him a little bit about the things he's going to be talking about, and I think it's going to be great. It's going to be really challenging for us, but I think it's also going to add another layer for us about what it means for us to work in a world that has been impacted and broken by sin. We haven't really addressed that yet. We've kind of been holding off until week three of the series to really get stuck into that. So I hope you can join us either on site or online for that message, or certainly listen to it on the GBC Sermon Podcast. It's been great having you with me here again today. I trust it's been helpful as you continue to learn what it means to love and follow Jesus, and hope to have you with us again next week.
Thanks for joining us at the GBC Big 3 podcast. We trust you found this inspiring, encouraging, challenging, but ultimately helpful to enable you to follow Jesus. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can also listen to the We Are The Church podcast, a discussion pod with real stories from real people at Guymere Baptist as they share their experiences of faith and discipleship in action. If you've enjoyed this pod, why don't you rate and review it? This way others can discover the podcast too.